Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And, of course, football season is here, and that means it's time for wings, beer, and countless TVs full of gridiron action at B-Dubs. Buffalo Wild Wings, beer, sports. We're going to go to the phone lines now, 216-578-0850. At around 1:45, we'll preview the offensive matchups, around 2:15, the defensive matchups here on the show. But right now, we're going to the phones. And wouldn't you have guessed it? The first caller on our docket. His tears have gone cold, and he wonders why he got out of bed at all. Stan, the man.
Oh, my God. What an opening that is.
Yes, Stan. How are you, my man?
I'm surviving.
Good.
I'm surviving. You know, it's tough.
Yes, indeed.
You know, my two best my two best Monday Night Football games, the opener, 1970, 85,703. I had upper deck, eighth row, 45-yard line. What sight lines those were.
Nice.
Anyways, coming back with the next best game I went to, and we were underdogs, to say the least. 1979, attendance a little over 80,000 against the Dallas Cowboys and Tom Landry. The 26-7 victory that we pulled out. I'm not going to really make my call with this game tonight. It's a toss-up. So thanks a lot for taking my call.
You got it, Stan. Always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend, and enjoy the game tonight. Let's go now to Alan in Cincinnati. Alan, welcome to CBD.
What's up, guys?
Not too much, man, brother. How are you doing?
All right. I listened to O'Neal's little press conference the other day.
Uh-huh.
After Thanksgiving, and he said his wife was cooking for 15 people, and she killed it. Well, I'd like to hear him after tonight say, well, I had 11 guys on the field, and we killed it for one time
out of
the whole season.
Well, you're facing a Baltimore Ravens team that was to enter the season with Joe Flacco, the Super Bowl-winning quarterback, at quarterback, with Justin Forsett coming off of a massive 1,000-yard season at running back, with Steve Smith, the ageless wonder.
Potentially his last season in football.
Right, at wide receiver. At the other receiver, they selected Breshad Perriman, the exciting wide receiver with size and speed out of the University of Central Florida. And on Monday night, that's tonight, when they face the Cleveland Browns, they will have Matt Schaub at quarterback. They will have a rookie, Javorius Buck Allen, at running back, backed up by former Brown, former Titan, Terrence West. They will have at wide receiver Kamar Aiken and Chris Givens, who was acquired in a trade from the St. Louis Rams. They will not have Dennis Pitt at tight end. They'll have Crockett Gilmore, who's playing pretty well, and actually a battle of underappreciated AFC North tight ends, and Crockett Gilmore in big play gear. But this is, if the defense can have a good performance in this game, let's just stop talking about the
defense. Right, and to me personally, my perspective on tonight's football game, this has nothing to do with the Baltimore Ravens. I don't care who they walk out there. It has everything to do with the guys that are going to wear orange and brown tonight and their performance. They're the ones that are coming off the bye. They're the ones that have had the Johnny starting, the Johnny third string, you know, off the field issue to overcome. And in some cases, they're what, 2-8? 2-8 gives me that opportunity you've been given. There's no reason why you do not come out and play as physical and as fast, with as much to prove as any football team that should have taken the field in week 13 of the football, or week whatever, 11 of the football season.
No,
I got to see it.
You're right. You got to see it. And this is an opportunity to show that. And it's an opportunity for some young guys. We heard Mike Pettine say that we're going to see more Justin Gilbert this week. I'm excited to see Justin Gilbert. I'm at the point, and it's not about this isn't fair to these guys or fair to those guys. Look at where we're struggling. Let's see young guys play and see if they can improve the level of play or at least show progress going next year. I want Justin Gilbert to play full games. I'm fine with Pierre playing full games. Kaywan can play full games. You can mix Charles Gaines in as you want as well. I know you've got Tremont and he's going to play, so you're not going to get all that. But I want to see more Ibrahim Campbell. And offensively, give Duke Johnson 20 touches. What would happen? What's the worst that could happen? Give him 20 touches.
You rush for 75 yards a game?
We haven't had a 75-yard rusher all year.
My point.
I wouldn't mind seeing Duke get 20 and then next week Crow get 20 and just see how these guys do with an opportunity to kind of be the guy. You're going to have to stay committed to the run. Now, you could also manufacture those touches in the passing game, and Josh McCown will do that with these running backs.
Yeah.
20 touches for a running back.
I hear that, and I just I would think is John DeFilippo, you know, and getting Duke Johnson more touches is you, if you are a fan of football, you watch other football games and you study other football teams.
Yep, you do.
And what I would do in a copycat league, with which is very cliche, but it's very true, is look at the way the Patriots got Deion Lewis the football early in the season. Why can't we replicate that with Duke Johnson? You know, look at the way Jamaal Charles lines up all over the place, motions back in the backfield, then just gets the ball in an outside zone. But it forces you as a to keep the defense off balance. And I thought we'd see more of that. I thought we'd see more of it from this offense as a whole. And I thought I'd see more of it in regards to Duke Johnson, because when healthy out at practice in training camp, which was, I know, few and far between, I liked what I saw. I liked what I saw when he came back from the hamstring injury and his ability to win in one-on-one situations. Why can't we replicate that on when it actually matters out on the game field?
I could not agree with you anymore, and hopefully we can do that. Hopefully that's what this is going to be about. Again, 216-578-0850. You know, a lot of people on Twitter, and I'm going to be very curious to see what the attendance is tonight at this game. A lot of people certainly don't, you know, aren't as excited for this game, and I'm sure ESPN wishes.
Tickets are not hard to come by.
Johnny Manziel, tickets are not hard to come by, but come on out. Have a good time. It's Monday Night Football. It's not often that you get Monday Night Football here in Cleveland.
10 football games a year, including 2 preseason games, do you have your team show up at your stadium to play a football game?
Yeah, and for the teams that go to London for and give up a home
Less.
Game, it's only 9.
Let's not go.
We will not be going to London next year. At least we know that as well. So you look at this game and you look up this matchup. Matt Schaub, in his last 81 pass attempts, has thrown 6 interceptions, 4 of which have been returned for touchdowns. So I would like to see this defense make one of those, you know, game-changing type of a plays, get that kind of a pick 6, and we have an opportunity, with every as bad as everything is, an opportunity to sweep the Baltimore Ravens for the first time since 2007. Let's go.
Matt Schaub? Hey, man.
Matt Schaub. There are people who thought Matt Schaub was going to make his way to the Cleveland Football Browns a year ago.
That's right.
Because of his connection with Kyle Shanahan. I'm glad that
It's not about the Ravens tonight. Has nothing to do with who they're going to walk out there tonight. It has nothing to do with them and everything to do with us. You know, and I think a lot of it has to do with the time off. If I'm the head coach, if I'm Ray Farmer, if I'm Jimmy Haslam, I'm evaluating who I want back in this building next year based around their performance. Not only tonight, after their rest, but how they prepare, even if they take one on the nose, each and every week moving forward for the next 6 weeks.
And not only that, when as a player for you, okay, you had the Thursday night game, then you had a regular week against coming off of that. So that wasn't even really.
Was Johnny
a regular
out of town
week.
After that game too?
Yes.
Oh yeah, he was. Sorry.
He was. Then you had Pittsburgh. Then you have your bye week.
Right. And was Johnny out of town on that weekend too?
He was.
He was. Okay.
Then you have in even this week getting ready, you have Thanksgiving in the middle of it. For the players, you told me players are creatures of habit,
yes.
Creatures of routine. You haven't had your routine really for 4
no.
weeks.
Right.
Is that hard?
It is hard. It's very hard. And that's why I continually reference the younger players that have not been through this, leaning on the older players and asking the questions, what should I be doing with my time? You know, where should I be going? What should I be doing? How can I overcome? You know, you get stir crazy because you're so, especially for this to happen at this point in the season when you're really not playing for much more than pride, to have the motivation of work every day, going back in and getting it done and having that free time. Well, what do I do with the free time? And how can I continue to develop my craft and be one of the guys that can go out there and play well each and every Sunday, or including today's Monday night game, and be one of the guys that on tape or on the field, A, knows what they're doing and goes 100 miles an hour doing it. Because the team can lose, and the guys that play hard and understand their responsibilities will shine through on tape to these coaches and Ray Farmer as he evaluates the tape and watches, I'm sure, every single play again once the season is over. Those guys will pop off the screen like 3D. And those are the guys you want to go to war with, and those are the guys that will probably get a contract. Those are the guys that are definitely going to be back in this uniform next year that you go to battle with.
Absolutely. Let's go. Let's go to Greg and Lorraine right now. Greg, welcome to the show.
Good. Hey, Matt, your dad was my football coach when I went to St. John's when I was in elementary.
Oh, very cool.
The Browns are going to win 28-10 today.
28-10, a calling of your shot.
But I just want to ask you, if the Browns got the number one pick, would you take Joey Bosa?
If the Browns got the number one pick, I actually, at this point right now, I do think Joey Bosa will, whether it's the Browns or someone else, if it's not the Browns, I think Joey Bosa is by far and away, and especially after the way J.J. Watt's playing right now and what he's done in the last 3 years, will be the number one overall pick to whoever selects number one. When it comes to the Browns, at this point right now, not I'm kind of on the side of where Bruce Hooley comes out on this, to the point where you have number one. If there's no definitive number one, is there a team that's between 3 and 8 that wants number one that I can, not necessarily, and I know, Dino, you say a king's ransom, but that will make a lot of sense for us to move back, get a guy that we still want and or need, and accumulate very high picks to build a strong base for years to come.
Yeah, but, I mean, when you talk about moving back, you know, You have to start the model. Doesn't the model have to start with what the Rams did with the Redskins with RG3, right?
I think because RG3 ended up being what RG3 was, that teams are going to be a little bit more tentative to give up that king's ransom, and it's going to be a little bit more sensible but still handsome, if that makes sense.
First of all, I don't believe that there's a quarterback in this draft that's going to grade as high as RG3 or Luck from that year. So I don't think that you're going to be able to get that. But trading back, just because, and I know everybody likes to say, well, they've never done it successfully in the past, that doesn't mean it's still the right thing. That's an outcome bias. It still is the right process. And that's what this whole thing is about for this team, this organization, is doing things the right way time over time over time and then getting to where you need to be. And I think that if they have a quarterback that they like, though, you get that quarterback, because that is the most important thing in the National Football League. If you have an opportunity to trade back and still get that quarterback based on who's around you, you do that, and I think you're in good shape. I think Jared Goff continues to show that, maybe not as a rookie, might not come in right out of the gate. I think he would, but he's the kind of guy that I think is going to develop into a very, very good starter in the National Football League, top half of the league.
Oh, by the way, Paxton Lynch was 9 of 14 at one point in his football game this weekend. 7 of those 9 completions went for touchdowns in a blowout victory.
But it's so interesting with him. When he plays, when his team is playing competition that is not that good, unbelievable. When he's playing tougher competition, he's had his struggles.
Sure.
He kind of had a 4-game stretch where he struggled a little bit there. I like him. I just think he's got a lot of development to do in order to be an NFL quarterback, because of the offense he runs, because of the quality of people he's played with, a little bit of his mechanics. He's a very long, elongated release.
So does Famous Jameis.
So does Famous Jameis. But Famous Jameis is much better prospect than Paxton Lynch. All right, when we come back, the Missile, Qadri Ismail, will be with us from the Ravens Radio Network. Talk about this team, their season, what's going on with Jimmy Harbaugh's brother's team, Johnny Harbaugh. What's going on with the Ravens? Talk with him right after this.